Good morning. We are all actors. Think about it. Every day you act. For example, perhaps you aren't in the greatest of moods, but you put a smile on your face and act like nothing is wrong. When you are talking with someone and they are sharing personal information with you, it is not always best to react the way that you want to. Instead, you must suppress the emotion that you are feeling and express a different one. Basically, you act. We act all the time. It is second nature for most of us. In fact, we are encouraged to act to some extent. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. For though I am free from all men, and have made myself a servant, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. But those who are without, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Paul said that in order to teach people the gospel, he had to identify with them. He had to become like them, doing things that they do, and trying to form a relationship with them. Now keep in mind that lying and acting are two different things. We can act without lying because we are still being ourselves. We are just choosing not to express the thoughts and feelings that we have. While Paul encourages acting to some extent, there are places where acting is not beneficial and encouraging. The one I want to focus on this morning is acting perfect, pretending perfection. Whether we like to admit it or not, we all do this. We all act like we are better than we really are. We all try to make ourselves seem stronger, smarter, more likable. Why? Well, because we want to be liked and thought of in a good way. But the fact is, this is simply not helpful. We are told multiple times in the New Testament that we are to consider one another. The prominent one is in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. James 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. What is necessary to do this? You have to know each other, right? You have to know each other in order to stir each other up. You have to know each other in order to pray for each other. You have to be willing to stop acting in order to confess our sins and struggles to each other. In order to do these things, we have to stop pretending. You have to stop pretending that we are perfect and that we know everything but the Bible. This acting creates a problem for many people. They feel alone and inferior because while we are acting like we know everything and are confident in our faith, they are having doubts and do not understand some things. They feel like they are not a good Christian because they aren't as confident as everyone around them seems to be. If you feel like I'm talking about you, you're probably right. Everyone has experienced this at some point. This needs to change. While we are pretending perfection to make ourselves feel better. There are people who are still learning that need to be shown that they're not alone in their doubts and struggles. We have got to open ourselves up to each other. I'm not talking about laying everything out on the table. That wouldn't be wise. But there has to be some level of intimacy between us. After all, we are a family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Have we become so prideful that we are not willing to show each other that we are human? Have we become so selfish that we are unwilling to help each other in this area? I'm not pointing fingers. I struggle with this. I don't like to share my insecurities, my struggles, and my doubts to people. I don't like to be seen as weak or inferior. I do not like to be seen as unintelligent or wrong about something. I don't like it. But the point is that there are brothers and sisters here that need to see that we do not have it all figured out. There are members here that need to see that we are not perfect, that they are not alone in their struggles and doubts. In fact, that is probably all of us. All of us need to be encouraged, need to be shown that we are not alone in our struggles. We have got to be loving and patient and willing to sacrifice our pride. So this morning I'm going to start a little bit with myself. First of all, this may surprise some of you, but I don't know everything. Thus the reason for my professors having me read an unbelievable amount this semester. I don't know everything about the Bible or God. I don't fully understand some passages in the Bible. I don't fully understand God's purpose for everything that He does. I don't understand why God commanded the Israelites to wipe out entire civilizations. I don't fully understand the nature of the Trinity and how the Father, Son, and the Spirit are one and yet are separate. I don't fully understand what heaven will be like or what the wedding place is like. I don't fully understand how God created this universe. I have doubts. I have doubts about my salvation at times. I have doubts about the legitimacy of my baptism. I have doubts about whether or not I have fully repented of some sins. Granted, I don't have these doubts all the time, but they come and go. Secondly, I am a selfish person. Really, deep down, I am selfish. I want what I want, and if I don't get it, I get irritated. I get irritated when I don't have time to do the things that I enjoy. At times, my relationship with God is not that good. I get caught up in all the things that I have to do, and I forget God. My worship of God through church service and prayer is lacking. Sometimes in the church, I catch myself not even thinking about what we're supposed to be thinking about and just completely going off somewhere in my mind. I do not pray as often as I should. And when I do pray, it is not as heartfelt as it should be. I have struggles. I sin. In fact, I sin more than I care to admit. To put it simply, I tend to be a selfish person. That may have shocked some of you, but that is a point. I believe we have grown accustomed to saying we're humans. We all have struggles. We've grown accustomed to admitting that we have struggles and doubts in an almost whitewashed way, making it seem less of a problem for ourselves. Was it a bit blunt? Maybe. I could have been much more blunt. But that was not the purpose. The purpose is to show each other that we all have struggles. And that sometimes requires us to reveal some things about ourselves that are not so pretty. And keep in mind that the point of sharing these things is to edify and encourage each other. This isn't a pity party. We're supposed to teach each other through these things. Sometimes we are under the illusion that because some of us grew up in the church, that we are further along in this religion or something along those lines. Those who have not grown up in the church feel as if they are doing something wrong, or they're not as good. And that is simply not true. Growing up in the church does not change the fact that we are human, that we make mistakes and have struggles. In fact, in my experience, I have just as many struggles, if not more, than people who are newer to the faith. Perhaps it is because for those of us who have been in this environment for all our lives, we have become calloused and less appreciative of what God has done for us. Growing up in the church does not mean that we have it all figured out. We may think that we have the basics down, but that doesn't mean that we are better. All of us need to realize that. For those of us who have been here all our lives, we need to realize that we are not better, and that the quote-unquote newer people have something to offer, and in some cases, something even more to offer than we do. For those of you who have not been here all your lives, you need to realize that you have just as much to offer as we do. And you're not inferior. The point is for us to grow with each other. The point is for us to help each other grow. It doesn't matter where you're at in your level of understanding. What matters is that you have the desire to learn and to grow. This morning in class, Alan mentioned Paul confronting Peter. I want to talk about that for a minute. In Galatians 2, Paul talks about confronting Peter. Peter was keeping company with the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, born Jews. But then Peter would abandon the Gentiles, and when the Jews came along, and then teach that the Gentiles should be like the Jews. Paul confronted Peter about his hypocrisy. Now remember, Peter was one of the original apostles. He was with Jesus while he was on earth. He would be likened to those of us who have grown up in the church. Paul was not an original apostle. He came later. In fact, while Peter and the other apostles were building the church, Paul was killing Christians. Paul was newer to the faith, and he would be likened to those of us who have not grown up in the church. There are a couple things I want us to learn from this. First, Peter had struggles. Peter made mistakes. Even though Peter saw Jesus, heard all he did, and saw all the things that he did, he still sinned and had struggles. Just because Peter was more seasoned, was in the faith longer, didn't mean that he did not have problems. Secondly, Paul, who was newer to the faith, had something to offer. Multiple times, Paul says that he's the least of the apostles. Yet it is from Paul that we have most of the teachings in the New Testament. Just because we have grown up in the church does not mean that we do not sin. that we do not have daily struggles. In my experience, there's little to no difference between those of us who have grown up in this environment and those of us who are newer. We all have things to learn, and we all have struggles. But the thing is, this is hard. It is hard for us to be open with each other. I don't like opening myself up to people. I don't like showing them the bad, ugly, and hideous about myself. Why is that? Why is this hard for us? Well, we value our security too much. We feel safe and secure as long as no one knows about our struggles and our bad side. Our security is threatened when there's a possibility of sharing that about ourselves. So what do? We cover it up. Sometimes with phrases like, "We all have problems," without going any deeper, when we may need to get deeper sometimes. We get a false sense of security from the fact that no one knows about our struggles. This creates a problem. In some dysfunctional families, there are silent agreements. These agreements can include something like, "If you don't point out my struggles, I won't point out yours." Basically, everyone in this type of family ends up wearing a mask, so their faults are hidden. Now, that is a large generalization, but think about the dangers of that in a congregation. Do we have that secret agreement? Are we afraid to point out each other's faults because we don't want ours to be uncovered? We're supposed to confront each other. Remember Paul confronting Peter? Granted, this confrontation needs to be in a loving manner. We're supposed to help each other in this area. Are we so afraid of what people will think of us once we share our struggles that we forget this part of Christianity? Do we value our position with the brethren, how they think of us, so much that we ignore the fact that there are people who need to see that they're not alone? Their souls are in danger, brethren, or may be in danger, not to mention our own if we are this prideful and selfish. Also, we need to make sure that the environment is safe. We should feel safe when we are expressing our struggles to each other. We need to make sure that people do not feel judged or inferior when they express their struggles. Remember, we're supposed to be loving toward one another. Sometimes we are so afraid of people's reactions because we do not feel that the environment is safe. As a congregation, we need to make sure that this is a safe and loving environment that encourages honesty and sharing. I want to share a story with you. One time I went to a study, and you know what made it a good study? It was an environment where it was safe to share our struggles and uncertainties. One person broke the ice and shared a struggle. I was amazed at the effect that it had. Once the ice was broken, I, at least, and I observed other people, felt more comfortable. I came away from that study feeling closer to the people there. That should be the type of environment that we should have here. One that is safe, open, and encouraging. We should come away from this place feeling closer to each other. What this all comes down to, really, is one simple question. Do you value your position with the brethren, how we think of each other, more than you value your position with God? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, 10 through 18. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest, or made known. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Then go to chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This is a problem. This is a problem that I have. While I think that I love the brethren, do I withhold some things that may be beneficial? Do I love only in word and not through my actions? John says that whoever doesn't love his brother abides in death. That is hell. We have to lay down our lives, for the brethren. Don't you think that includes sharing our struggles when necessary? Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? This is a huge part about Christianity. What is the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. That includes loving each other. Galatians 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those who are the household of faith. Especially to those who are the household of faith. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are commanded to love each other, commanded to give to those who are in need. That giving certainly includes giving our time and giving encouragement wherever and to whomever it is needed. We have got to be open with each other. We have got to stop acting as if we are all perfect. Because the fact is, no one here is perfect. And that is the point. The point of this religion, of this faith, is not to become perfect here on earth. That will never happen. The point is that God makes us perfect. The point is that God died for us so that we could be saved from our imperfections. Not because of anything that we have done, but solely because of what God has done. I didn't hear any excuse for me to be prideful in there, did you? We are a family. Sometimes I need to remember that. If you're here this morning and you want to be saved from your imperfections, for God to make you perfect once again, if you want to become part of this family, to be part of this family that is encouraging, that is edifying, that we build each other up in, we encourage you to make that desire known